Glory to God. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we bless your name. How gracious you are. Thank you for being here. How we need you. Lord, help us to understand what you would want us to understand about your person and your presence in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you all get a... Okay, everybody got one? I made 20, so there should be enough, and we can always make more. So what we're going to do on these, you notice there's three hole punch. Next week, we'll bring a bunch of notebooks, and then you can begin to put everything in a notebook and keep it. We didn't know how many people were going to be able to come or whatever, so we just need to get an idea of how many notebooks to purchase. It'll end up being, I think it'll end up being about 35 or 40 pages total. It's anywhere from 50 to 60 pages, and then I print front and back. But write on these things, encourage you to do that, and then if you need to add extra paper, just get some notebook paper and throw it in there and write to your heart's content. I'd like you to concentrate on this study. I know those of you do various things. You participate in other Bible studies and your own Bible reading and stuff like that. But if you could try and work through this as it comes, it's fairly comprehensive, so it's overwhelming. In terms of if you try to read every single scripture and those kinds of things. So what I do throughout is I'll put in bold a particular text which we would call a proof text. A proof text in a doctrinal study is something that absolutely says what the portion of the doctrine that we're trying to express or understand. So it's the proof text. Now, in Bible doctrinal studies, we use the Bible to prove itself. So it requires that you have faith in the Word of God, that the Word of God is what it says. And so that when you come to it, then the Bible says what the doctrinal idea or concept we're trying to get across. It proves itself. Now, Paul says in Romans that we have, the world, the lost world has all of creation before it. But it still doesn't believe. It still doesn't believe. But we use the Bible as our proof text. So exercising faith in the Word of God that it is truly the Word of God is how you need to come to this. It's a wonderful study. And several people have said D.L. Moody was one of them. If we could get every one of you to fully embrace our understanding of the Word of God concerning the Holy Spirit and know Him, this group could take over the world. He said if I had 100 men, and there's enough people here, we could. And it tells you how little we grasp what God wants us to grasp concerning Himself. If you've read the Old Testament, you've read the covenant of sacrifice that the Old Testament saints, people of Israel, had to walk through. And, if you understand it and how they could not come that close to God, and what we can do and understand in our relationship to coming close to God, it's incredible of what we can understand. We can do what that high priest could do only once a year. We can come into his presence. The high priest, he would come in, and he went through this whole process. They would strip him and they would wash him and they would put these special, very clean robes upon him. And everything that the lamb had to be perfect. They would search for that lamb that was the most perfect that they could find. No blemishes, nothing upon him. And then they would sacrifice this lamb and they would bring the blood of the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. If one of those things were out of order, he would meet his death, you know. And that's why, you know, historically they said they would tie a rope on his leg. And if they heard the body fall, maybe I don't think they could actually hear much because the curtain was so thick. And they had bells on the bottom of his robes. So I suppose they could hear those bells. If they stopped hearing those bells and maybe a thud, they would drag him out. But we, you know, in Hebrews 10 says we can enter into that same holy place boldly because of the work of Christ. And that is incredible. So a theme verse for us is Romans 8:11, and it's what we're going to discover and what I'm praying God the Holy Spirit will help you to fully embrace and discover. And, you know, we say we believe this, you know, we as Christians, we say, well, I embrace the fact that Jesus was born. He lived a sinless life. He died. He was put on the cross. He died and was resurrected. I embrace that. That's part of fundamental part of my belief. But in all of those actions were led and guided by the Holy Spirit. To understand the walk of Christ here on earth is to understand that he had to do so, and he did so by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's hard to grasp. Well, he was God. He was Jesus. But he took on human flesh. So he experienced all the things that you experience in weakness. But he had to walk through that life, and he had to be resurrected. Even his birth was his conception was by the Holy Spirit. And he had to walk through life led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And finally, his resurrection was by the Holy Spirit. And we see that in Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, some commentators want to say, well, that's, you know, when we're dead, then the Holy Spirit is going to resurrect us into eternal life. But these verbs here are present, active present verbs. He's giving life right now to your mortal bodies. You know, as I age, you know, my mortality comes upon me and I understand it. But the life of the Holy Spirit through me is what God wants us to understand. Life in our mortal bodies. And so it's his life that he brings within us. Two major things you have to understand. And if you understand them today, you don't have to go through the rest of the class. But they have to be revealed to you. You really need to understand two very simple things that you have to understand. And this is, if you read any kind of doctrinal study, you know, and I've read some, most of the good ones are written by, they're all dead, but, you know, Smeaton and Owen and a lot of those guys, they read these ponderous doctrinal works on the Holy Spirit. Two things, if you come at the beginning, that you have to understand. One, he is God. And two, he is a person. Now, that doesn't seem very common. Well, yeah, I understand that. Yeah. You may not. And what we need to understand first, that he is God. A lot of people want to make him, and it's an error, we want to make him a force that emanates from God, from the Father. And we do so by saying, well, and there's a lot of similes that are presented in Scripture about God being actively present. We see, you know, we see the tongues of fire and the wind of the Spirit in Acts 2. We see fire in the presence in Israel, fire in the camp above the tabernacle. We see wind and water and rain. The prophets use those kind of pictures of the Holy Spirit. And so there's this tendency to say, well, when I feel those things, like, you know, oh, you know, the gospel goosebumps. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. And so when I don't feel those gospel goosebumps, or when I don't see the wind and the fire and those kinds of things, then he must not be here. And so the only reason he comes is if I invoke him. So we do this when we had all our 8 kids with us, and we had 8 kids in 12 years, or my wife did, 8 kids in 12 years, you know, it was chaos, you know, it was crazy chaos. And so we would go traveling, and we'd always kind of say, all right, watch each other, be traveling buddies. And so the closest ones tended to be the traveling buddies with each other. But even that failed us from time to time. They'd forget each other. I don't know how. But that's what our tendency is to do with the Holy Spirit, is to call him, God, I really need you. I'm going into a difficult situation. I've got a boss at work that's, you know, crazy, or, you know, I've got a difficult situation, or I'm getting sick. And so our tendency is to invite him to come. We even do it in our public prayers, you know, please, Holy Spirit, please come and help us with this. But the Holy Spirit is already there in the fellowship of the believers. In fact, he's more powerfully there in the fellowship of the believers than he is even just individually. There's this, you know, there's this promise where two or more are gathered. There the I am is in the midst. So realizing that he is always there, always present, always with you, you need to sit and think about what that means. Always there. Now, I have times, and we can have times in our fellowship, in which God manifests himself to us in a wonderful way. And sometimes it's so overwhelming, it's incredible. But that's not life in the norm. Knowing that the Holy Spirit is always there. I have to be careful sometimes. I get to praying while I'm driving, and I just get overwhelmed with God speaking to me or helping me pray. I stop my car, you know. That gets a little dangerous. But, what we need to understand, and what I have to understand, is that the Holy Spirit is always with me. And it's not always life on the mountaintop and goosebumps and those kinds of things. I'm kind of I express myself emotionally a lot. But that's something God's done within me. But it's not when God is doing those kinds of things. You know, if you look at Acts 2 and what happened in that moment, the Spirit begins to blow, and these people burst out of the upper room in their prayer, and there's tongues of fire on them and stuff, and all of a sudden everybody turns around. And why is that? The reason is that they recognized that God was where? The lost Israel, where did they think God was? In that holy of holy place. And so all of a sudden, down the block, they're seeing the manifestation of God that they are aware of, the wind and the fire. They're saying, what's going on here? Because this looks like God. And they come out, they're praising God and magnifying God, and they're hearing it all in their own tongues. You know, The first day the gospel was presented, it was presented to the whole world. Isn't that interesting? From all over the world, there were people present. That was the first day of the gospel. And so they identified the presence of God in those things. And so that was a guide to them that says, oh, this is God. God's out of that inner holy of holies. So that's all that was. But God was everywhere present. And that's what we have to, that's why I want you to grab a hold of, is that God, He is God. And the second thing is He is a person. So He becomes this person. If you understand Him as a person, then all of a sudden you have to think about what it means for God to be a person dwelling within you. It's not a force. It's not gospel goosebumps. It's not whenever you see, you know, you feel this wind and you're drawn and you wish to praise God, you know, spontaneously and those kinds of things. It's God, a person, dwelling within you. It's God, a person, dwelling within you. So what does that do? You know, He's not somebody you call from afar and, you know, and thinking, well, wow, He's with like the pastor and John Piper and, you know, those kinds of things. He's a person that's with you every single moment. So if He's a person that's with you every single moment and He's God, whoa, you got to think about that. Every action He sees, every action, every thought He knows, everything. And we fail many times to live under that understanding. That's why I say, if you know those two things, you got it. Now, we're going to talk about all the things that He does and all the things that He has done. And because we're going to prove to you from Genesis 1-2 on to the end of Revelation that the Holy Spirit was involved in all those things. But what we're going to try to do is to bring Him present right now and help you understand that He's present right now with you. That's potent. And so what happens to our sin in that regard? Because God is dwelling with you right now. So every thought, every action, He knows. Now Satan, and he knows what you're going to do with that. Satan doesn't know that. He knows, by knowing your life, what you lean towards in terms of sin. And so what he's going to throw in front of you is that very thing that touches your heart, that makes you want to do that, or he's going to push a button. He can push a button, but he doesn't know what you're going to do with it. He just knows that if he throws that up to you and you're not dependent on the person and power of the Holy Spirit to walk you through that, you're going to fail. But the Holy Spirit knows that. He knows what you're going to do. And that's why grabbing a hold of that understanding is incredibly important. Because then all of a sudden you're going through life and you come upon a situation and you say, and then you make a choice. Well, I'm going to allow myself to do this thing, or I'm, you know, God knows that I just struggle with depression, or I just struggle with anger, or I just struggle with this stuff in the past that have, you know, grabbed me by the nape of the neck. I was telling a guy, I was sharing. I said, so what did you do with your sin? And I said, well, I tried to control it. I said, so is it like the 300-600-pound gorillas that wake you up in the morning and give you a great big hug and say, this is where we're heading? He said, yeah, it's just like that. You ever thought of telling him to leave? No. Do you know God the Holy Spirit can make them leave? Oh, I never thought of that. So I said, I want you to write them down. Write down all those gorillas. They give you that hug every morning and say, this is where we're heading. And he did. And God cleansed his heart. And the next week I saw him. Oh, there was a different man. See, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to know that he wants you to know that he is with you every single moment. I think that's so cool to think about. And I forget about it at times. As a young person, I was full of fear. I mean, I had this, he was a King Kong gorilla. I was just, and he'd give you one of those crushing hugs every moment of my life. I was full of fear, just gripped by fear. I mean, I couldn't sit in a dark room. I couldn't sit in a room at night with the shades up, drawn. I couldn't, every conversation with somebody was this thing. I had to try to please them in the conversation. And so I ended up lying a lot, just trying to figure out what I thought they really wanted to hear. I was afraid of being confronted. I couldn't confront at all. I couldn't talk to somebody about difficulties. I had all kinds of fears, every kind of fear you could know. And I can remember coming into a fellowship of believers, and it was just huge. And I can remember coming into a fellowship of young believers, and they had been in drugs and all kinds of crazy stuff, and I can remember being in this fellowship, and they kept talking about how Jesus had done things for them. Jesus, why do they keep talking about, who's this guy Jesus? Maybe they have a Spanish pastor and his name is Jesus, and they call him Jesus. I really absolutely thought that. And then they kept talking about Jesus had delivered him from that and this and the other thing, and and then this meeting started, and they greeted the pastor, and he wasn't Jesus at all. It was Bob or something. I forget what it was. But then I realized they were talking about Jesus. I had never heard people talking about Jesus, the reality of Christ, in that way. And so I came to that place in a very few short weeks that I realized that gorilla wasn't supposed to be there. He wasn't. And I came and sat down with an elder, and I said, this is what I got. He said, well, would you ever confess it as sin? Huh? What's that? I said, no, I never understood it as being sin in that regard. I just thought that's the way I was. That's the way I was always going to be, and I was going to have to try to manipulate my life through life in this back and forth path, trying to take care of my fear. He said, no. He said, why don't you just confess it as sin? And so I sat down, and I just said, oh God, forgive me. And this flood broke through from my heart. And for about 45 minutes, I think I was on the floor most of the time, just weeping my eyes out. And I can remember, I got up, he says, I think you're about done. I was just kind of shattered, It was one of those moments that I found I was just shattered. And he says, I think we've done enough for the while. And so what he does, he says, why don't you go home? And I can remember getting into my car. And for some reason, music was one of the things that got me. And this is the late 60s. So we have all this depressing music and all this angry music and, all this stuff. And I just allowed it to permeate my heart and thought. And so when I got in the car and I turned on, for some reason, the radio, well, I know why. The radio didn't come on. Normally, I had to keep music playing all the time in my head. It was a big bunch of noise. And I turned on the car. And all of a sudden, I said, I can hear the car engine. I hadn't heard it because so much noise was in my head. And I said, "Oh, God." And I sat there and wept, listening to the car for 15 minutes. And I was free from that fear. And see, that's what God, the Holy Spirit, wants to do. Now, I had a discovery period for about 2 years of walking through why that fear got in there. And working through understanding what God was, how I got there, and being very specific with the Lord and having Him redirect me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, so that I could understand how to wear the robe of righteousness and keep it clean. So I mean, that's what we're gonna discover in the days ahead. I want you to, as we do that, and you can do this in the simplicity, you go home and say, "Wow, I never really understood this. And God, I know You're here. I know You're with me. And I want to discover You." You know, He is God. He is with you. And He is your friend. He's your friend. He's your friend. So in those moments that you're struggling, you don't know what to do, He's your friend. He calls Him advocate or comforter. I like the term comforter. That means instead of that 600-pound gorilla grabbing you around the neck and saying, "This is where we're going," it's the gentle comforter being your friend. And it says in Scripture, He knows our weaknesses, Hebrews 4. He knows them. God, I'm weak in this. But I just need to come to You. And there are times I do that. Everything is swirling around me. I mean, I work a job, I have a business, and I have a family, and you know, it gets more and more complicated. I have 4 sons-in-laws and 2 daughter-in-laws, and you know, all this stuff, you know, just coming at me, and my responsibilities here at church, and those kinds of things, and it just gets too much. And I just have to say, "God, I need You right now." I said, "I'm not going to ask You anything. I don't know what to do. It's just too much. It's too overwhelming. God, just comfort me in this moment." And He does. He gives me a word from from Himself. He reminds me of a scripture, and I say, "Wow, God." And He reveals it to me in a way that I can understand. And I grab a hold of it, and I feel His arms giving me one of those great big hugs. He's your friend and comforter. And He's also the revealer. You know, there are people, and I encourage people to do that, and I think it's a good thing, especially if you've never done it. I did it as a young child. We read through the Bible every year. My mom was very disciplined in that, and every night we would read 3 chapters of the Bible and 5 on Sunday. She was steadfast. If we had to miss it for some reason, we would catch up the next night. So we'd sometimes read a lot, you know, and you're reading in the Chronicles, and it can be a little difficult. But and I encourage you to do that. I want you to come at the Word as you begin to understand the Holy Spirit and help to understand the Holy Spirit, that He is there to reveal to you from this Word. And there's 2 things He's going to reveal to you. Primarily, it's His job. I say it in the introduction there. And Jesus said this in his last words. He's to reveal Christ to you and the Father to you. So in every passage that you read, he wants to reveal Christ to you and the Father to you in some way. And it's not just gaining information and you know, putting together a bunch of commentaries and what did these people say about this and all those things. In fact, for the most part, I no longer use commentaries. Occasionally, I'll use them for a historical reference as to what their thinking was back then. Or I'm looking at a Greek or a Hebrew word, for instance. So I use Bible study helps like that. I would encourage you, if you can, get something like that. There's a lot of them online that will give you. And there's free ones that you can get, eSword. You can sit it on your phone or sit it on your computer. You just have to give them a donation. Now, you have to buy certain things from them, but it's still pretty cheap. And they have a Greek and Hebrew, and then you can get study helps from that. So that's what I principally use. But what the Holy Spirit wants to do is reveal Christ and the Father to you. He wants to reveal it to you. And sometimes that revelation comes in this magnificent moment, and other times it's just, wow, God. Wow. I've read this passage 1,000 times, but I've never understood it like that. The passage that God has given me in these days, I determined probably a little over a month ago, I was going to study Romans 5 through 10. And I can't get out of the first 5 verses. But the verse 5, we could look at that real quick, is the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And God's been showing me what that means. The love of God poured out in my heart. And I'm beginning to understand that the love of God goes so very, very deep. And God has been revealing it to me. And he showed me, you know, when I was here on earth, I went after the leper. The worst, the most despised human being on earth was the leper. And God went after the leper, and he loved that leper. He set sail with his disciples for the demoniac. They knew where he was going. I mean, this guy was, you know, he had garnered and controlled that whole countryside where he lived. And Jesus set sail for them. You know, and the disciples were, oh, did you know where we're going? You know, I don't want to go there. That's scary. That guy, did you hear what he's done? You know. But Jesus set sail for him. The lowest of the low. When, you know, the children were nothing, and he gathered himself to the children. The woman with the disease that nobody could cure, he let her touch him. He did. And everybody would have known. She would have known to keep herself separate, but she said, oh, if I could just go touch him. That's what the love of God is like in our own lives. It pours out. It's to pour out through our hearts and lives. That's revealed to us. It's not, there's a lot of books on how to love and, you know, how you can minister to your wife through your whatever or your husband or through some type of sieve, you know, these are the lenses that you have on, and so, you know, you're a giver or whatever you are, and that's how you can love people. No, it's the love of God poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. I my son lives in a nursing home, and we go there. We're there a lot, you know. He has a lot of needs and stuff, but You go into that nursing home, and he is probably the highest mental, one of the highest mental states in that nursing home. There's 100 and some people that live there. And you go and watch the rest of them, and a lot of them are just, they're just out of it. And there are others that are not so out of it, but they sit there and they scream. And it's tough. And sometimes the odor can get to you. They haven't gotten to everybody, and, you know, it's tough. Or you don't want to take a deep breath during those times. Now, there's a lot of times it doesn't, but there are a number of times that it does. And I walk through there, and I've said, God, what's the love of Christ here? And there's this one guy, they put him down this dead-end hallway because he screams a lot. And you can't communicate to him. He has no way of communicating. And I sometimes hear that, and I walk and I stop. And I said, Jesus, what would you do if you were here? And he says to me, I am. I am here by the Holy Spirit. And I said, okay, what should I do? He says, what did I do in the storm? I said, well, you got up and you said, peace, be still. Really? Am I supposed to do that? Yeah. Why don't you try it? And I remember the first time I did this, I stood at the end of that hallway, and he's just screaming. And they put him down there because you can hear him through the whole place. But I guess it's, you know, he's there. And I just said, peace, be still. He went silent. And I come back there and I get to practice that over and over again sometimes. But, you know, I thought, wow. And then there's this one guy, he looks Middle Eastern, and he just kind of sits in the hallway and he can't communicate at all. And I just pray for him, you know. And sometimes I put my hand on his shoulder as I'm passing by. But I thought, Jesus, you ministered to those people. That's the kind of people you minister. That's the love of God in my heart towards those kinds of people. And you know, lost people are just like that. They have no mind of Christ. They're crazy. A lost person is crazy. If you want to know what a lost person is thinking, just think he's crazy. Because he's not loving God. And so he has Satan and his flesh and all kinds of stuff that's just wreaking havoc. And he's crazy. You know, I used to tell when I taught junior high Sunday school here, I said, sin makes you stupid. It's amazing all the people that went through that class that tell me that. It was the best thing he ever told me. Sin makes you stupid. And it does. It causes you to do dumb things. And that's what the lost person does. He's just like that demoniac that Jesus set sail for. He's crazy. And he tries to do things to make life go normal, but he can't. And that's what we're to be to the lost world. We're to be this light. We're to emanate. The love of God is to pour through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And see, that's what God wants to reveal to us through the Word. Not how many men, if they could all fit in some battle zone in Gibeon, you know, or all those kinds of things. What God wants to reveal is Himself to us. That's His job. What's His job to the lost person? What's that? Right. It's just a few verses earlier in that passage. It says, to the lost person, He wants to convict them of sin, righteousness, and future judgment. You know a lost person, I'm sure you all do. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit is always doing. Always. He doesn't stop. Now you say, well, you know, He doesn't act like that. But the Holy Spirit is always convicting. Always convicting. Always convicting of sin, His sin, future judgment, the fact that if He doesn't deal with that sin, He's going to face future judgment. And He's showing them that there is a way out. the righteousness of Christ, the imputed righteousness of Christ. That's what he's doing. He's always doing those things. And that's what we're going to try and discover in the weeks ahead. We're going to talk about what he does. And if you begin to think about him as everywhere present, and that he is God, and that he is with you, he goes before you, he goes with you, and he lives in you. So all of a sudden, what your vision of what your life should be like as a Christian, all of a sudden, it's cool. You walk into situations, and God just walked in with you. Yes. Amen. Correct. Right. Now, to some, you're, because the Holy Spirit is there administering through you, you are a smell of death to them, and they run from you. There are people that don't want to be in my presence. And that's sad to me. But then I have to realize there are some people that in this situation are not going to grab a hold of it, at least for me. And so I pray for them in regards, well, God, maybe there's somebody that all of a sudden can speak to them. That's all I can do in those situations. But then there are others that keep coming to you because they're touching life. They're touching the Holy Spirit. And I remember having, you know, coming to that realization as the Holy Spirit began to show me that kind of stuff. And then I began to use that. Glory to God. You know, and then walking into those situations, sometimes they're burning, I call them burning buildings. Walking into those situations, all of a sudden you're that minister. You are that minister of the grace of God and this that's pouring through, that's coming through you, and you're that minister of the Holy Spirit. You're Jesus in that situation. And I've seen God do crazy things. You know, I've sat with people and said, you know, give them one verse. This person that was just struggling with sin and the burden of sin, and she had all kinds of sin. She had sin that was put upon her as a young lady. She had sins that she had participated in. She had sins, just, wow, sin. And she's just struggling. You could see the weight just bearing this poor lady down. And God said, you know, she sat down this one time and said, why would God want me? And I knew, see, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was convicting her of sin and future judgment, but his righteousness. And I said, the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17 was the verse that came to my mind. Kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I said, when God comes to dwell in your heart, you will have righteousness. All that sin can be put aside. You will have peace that you cannot understand. It's way beyond your sin. And you will have joy because you know that your eternity is with God. That's all I said. She bowed her head and she began to weep. And I'm sitting there watching it. And I said, do I have to say any more, God? No, that's it. But there must be something. Nope. And she wept for about 10, 15 minutes. Gets up and leaves. I thought, wow, God. And I said, nothing more? Don't I need to give her a Bible or something? No. So about 3 weeks, I didn't see this person for a while, and about 3 weeks later, she came to me. Could I sit down with you for a minute? And I said, oh yeah. And she says, she says to me, it didn't go away. What didn't go away? She says, the peace. I said, what do you mean? She says, I thought every morning I would wake up and I would be like Cinderella in my rags again with that burden of sin. And she says, oh, it didn't go away. And the burden is gone. And I thought, glory to God. See, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's what, as we walk through life, we can understand that. So, Kathy and I, we walk into a grocery store. And we're with the clerk. And we're just chatting. And now we didn't get into the, you know, the meat of the gospel. But the Holy Spirit ministering through us, and you can tell that person's affected. They talk to me. They looked at my name badge. They called me my name. And we don't do those things purposefully, but we understand that when we walked into that situation, God was walking with us. And I guarantee you that person will never forget that. I've heard many, many stories. You know, when you walked into the room, something was done in my heart. There was something going on. I can walk into a, you know, and I've seen this, and I'm not saying this proudly at all in any sense of the term. I am just humbled by the fact I can walk into a, you know, into a meeting situation in which there's a lot of angry people, and I can just sit there and watch God calm all these hearts, come up with an answer, and everybody says, well, that was kind of simple. And we all walk away, and everything's done, and we have a process. I've seen that happen. I've been sitting with people, and they have a story or whatever that they give me, and I'm thinking, God, what do you want me to do with it? And God takes that moment, and He turns it around, and He suddenly gives me a picture, and then I've watched the ability to present clearly the gospel, and the gospel appear in their hearts. And I thought, wow, that is so cool, God. That's what we're going to discover in the days ahead. Christ in you, the hope of glory, everywhere present, everywhere bringing righteousness, peace, and joy, not only into your own life, but into every single life you touch. Many, many years ago, I taught a class on prayer, and I asked everybody, before you come next week, I want you to write down every relative that you know that's lost, and every person that you come in contact on a regular basis that you know is lost. I mean, it's evident and obvious that they're lost. And I said, I want you to come back and bring the number of those lost people. And then I said, then you can write down every believer that you know that, you know, what I call God's chosen, and there's God's frozen. You know, they're just stuck. You know they're Christians, and somewhere in there, if you boiled them hard enough, somewhere, you know, up would float Christianity. But, and so I said, write all those names down and bring back the number. And we had a class, I think it was about 13 or 15 people. It was well over, when they brought back the number, we added them all together, it was well over 1,000 people. It's like 1,500 people. So if this class were to do that, I bet we'd come up with 2,000 or 3,000 people. And that's where the ministry of the Holy Spirit through you can affect. Can you imagine that? That's the size, we probably come up with about 3,000 or 4,000 people. That's the size of some small towns here, just around us. We could affect all that from just the Holy Spirit working in your heart through prayer. And then we could touch nations. And so that's where we're going. Take the work. One of the things I did as we're going through, I put proof text in bold. And so if you can't read all the scriptures, at least read the bold text and, you know, write concerning it. So enjoy. And it's good to see all of you here. Glory to God. Let's pray. Lord, we bless your name. How gracious and how merciful you are. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your purposes being fulfilled in us. Oh, Lord, help us to be men and women that know you are God and that know you are present in our hearts and that you're a wonderful person that we can love, and you can comfort us, and you can pour out in us your love. In Jesus' name, amen.